You are now tuned in to Live Free or Die Radio. Today is Tuesday, January 8th, 2019. I am your host, Uncle Sam. I have with me Amanda Shea.
A.A.
And K-Ball.
Yo, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
How are you doing, man?
Oh. Yeah. Is he trying to do nothing? But that is,
I totally get that
statement. That is the goals these days when I actually have nothing to do.
Have you been meditating?
Yes, I have.
Dude, me too. Nice. We're doing well.
We are doing well.
Meditation is key.
Yeah.
For sure.
Really lines up the chakras.
It really does. No lie.
Yeah, we were talking about last week on our resolutions podcast and all that, and it's good to hear everyone sticking to theirs. Are you sticking to yours?
I didn't make any resolutions.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of did. No, I kind of didn't, because you asked, what have I learned?
Yeah.
And I learned a lot, but I didn't make resolutions. I just want to be a better me every day.
Okay.
I don't need a new year to
resolutions
kick
every
that
day.
Off. Exactly. Right, because I feel like every day is a new day to start new.
Yeah,
exactly.
Seriously. And people, you know, it's cool. Like, a year can be a form of measurement, too. So I get that.
Not even every day, every moment.
Deep.
I'm on that. All you have is the moment wave, you know. There's no past, present. There's present.
You got me and K-Ball over here like, we resonate with that, yes.
Careful with the K-Ball. You're supposed to call him 8-Ball.
No.
No, keep messing up his name. So like, one week it's A-Ball, next week it's K-Ball. Am I wrong, right?
You didn't listen last week, did you?
I don't think
you listened last week either, to be quite honest.
They were calling him Aaron, Alex.
God. Aaron?
Yeah, DJ Black Ice.
AJ.
Oh, my God.
That was just
he went through, like, a white A-name Rolodex.
Yeah, every generic white kid's name was, like, passed in rotation.
I love it.
Yeah.
I got to listen to the episode. What am I doing?
Yeah, we would appreciate that.
Listen, I was moving. The last thing on my mind was, like, radio or anything social media. I'm just like, I need to get out of Brockton and come back to Boston, which has happened, so I'm happy.
Nice. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I think everyone's resolution for 2019 is going to be to listen to the episodes and critique ourselves. Christiana's listening to them now. Shout out to you, Christiana.
Christiana.
Hey, hey.
So, speaking of which, the DJ Black Action episode is up right now. You can get that on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, LFODradio.com, iHeartRadio, everything like that. In addition to Black Action, we have the State of New England Hip Hop, Parts 1 and 2, the Tony White interview, Women in Hip Hop, the Billy Dean Thomas, and many, many more. We also dropped the DJ Black Action Megamix, 23 minutes of turntablism. That's on our YouTube page, YouTube LFOD. The content got flagged everywhere else, but on YouTube, they're letting it rock. So we got a ton of YouTube videos up, actually. All the extra bars, the wrap-up recaps with SETI. And if you want to check those out, let us know. Tag us at LFOD Radio with an underscore on Twitter, or hashtag LFOD Radio. We need to know if you are tuned in. It's dope when people text us, but or tell us when they see us, but we love to see it online as well, because we're out here. Also, the new schedule is out.
Dope.
So next week we got Frank White, then we got YN Prop, and then... what were you going to say? You wanted to say something.
I did, because you mentioned Billy Dean Thomas, and I was going to say shout out to Billy Dean Thomas and Cliff Notes and Still Gold for opening up for Ja Rule over the weekend. That show was amazing, and I'm just really, really happy to see like our city like just making really good moves, and it was pretty packed in there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah, it was an amazing, amazing night. So,
shout out to all of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good to see people making moves, got on that House of Blues stage.
And Ja Rule killed it. Like, low key, I was like, I'm not really even here to see Ja Rule, but I stayed because the catalog was crazy and he had so much energy.
Yeah, he's got records.
Yeah, he definitely does. And like, everybody was singing along. It was a really good night, really great night.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to plug.
And the season 5 schedule, we dropped January and February, but we got Joe Grizzly tonight, of course. Then we have Frank Knight next week. Then we're YN Prop. Then we're doing part two of the Women in Hip Hop panel. Then we got Noom Nera, and we got E. Jake. And we already have a lot of March and April scheduled, but we're just filling in a couple blanks. If there is somebody you would like to hear on LFOD Radio, let us know. Once again, hit us up. It's at LFOD Radio or submissions at LFODradio.com. If you're an artist, send us some clean records because we've got a few spots left. But then we're done. That's it.
I made my recommendations.
Yep. So, Joe Grizzly, if you do not know who they are, it's Showtime, Jay Jordan, DJ Menace, and Uncle Floyd. He may just go by Floyd, but we're calling him Uncle Floyd tonight. He plays the drums, guitar, all sorts of things. He brought his six string with him. We might get that out later. They're a group out of Fitchburg, Massachusetts, quite active in the scene, performing, throwing events, etc. And I'm really excited to chop it up with them. I've been bumping into them quite a bit over the years, and they're definitely a facet of this New England hip-hop scene, so it'll be interesting to hear what they have to say. We're going to get into it with one off their album, The Future. This one is called POV. You're tuned into Live Free or Die Radio.
What up, what? I know what you don't like. I know that you don't like me, huh? Like me and you don't have to, and you don't like the price I didn't ask you. We pushing the highest grade, you still the lightest weight. They huffing up the same deal for the second time straight. Blowing up my phone line, I don't care how they feel. So I clothesline like I'm Brad Layfield, and I may feel like I'm Curtis Mayfield. While I push a man and even up the playing field. Penny for my thoughts, nah, Henny for my thoughts. And y'all tape recording my eight order. If anybody talks, you can tell them what it costs. And I'm not giving up a spot on my corner. See, I just made a late order, post layover. Not feeling so great, I had to drink water. Sneak a little bit of love over state borders. Cause I never got a favor, I ain't pay for it. Like money over matrimony, trying to fit the form. You split the money down the middle, like what's mine is yours. Of course, have intercourse, then you get divorced. And break the baby piggy bank on the kitchen floor. You see, a good deal shouldn't feel forced. So we married to the market like a resource. Yo, the landscape changed, so we changed course. And put supplies and ammunition on the same horse.
I don't really like you or your attitude. It's like it's always bad news or the wrong moves. You want a rifle, but only wearing left shoes. All your friends are dead, there's nobody left to bless you. Nick up again, man, you never let them stress you. How you dodge the odds, boy, you never let them get you. Door slamming closed before you get a chance to step through. Barely getting by, you unremarkable, ain't special. Day trading with a briefcase of intellect and a pencil case full of cigarettes. A synesthete, I'm seeing numbers on the internet. A real head case, man, somebody tweet the president. Business minded when we fall upon predicaments. Forecasting profits, prophecies on certificate. Rhyme syndicate, rap game dissonant. Smoking entertainers while I vaporize the distillate. And I ain't really seen or heard no good news lately. That might help explain my fucked up mood lately. They tried to pull the wool, but couldn't sway me. Now they vexed off that existential dread, something crazy. The world's changed, it's more urgently cadence. Words exchanging, they wearing down the patience. The flood's raging and you bailing out the basement. How you built the future on the culture of escapists?
And we are back on Live Free or Die Radio. We got Joe Grizzly with us.
What up, what up, what up?
If y'all want to introduce yourselves one time so people know your voices.
Oh, yeah. Yo, I'm Showtime. I'm Uncle Floyd.
Yo, what's good, man? Sorry. It's your boy Jay Jordan over here just trying to get some slack on my headphones.
Here, trade.
Trying to get free.
Trade.
Trying to live free.
Yeah, it's calling something right
here. That's what you got, man. That's it.
Okay, all right. There we go. I got life now.
A lot of people don't even put them on, so shout out to you for being a professional.
Wow. Give life.
Yeah, shout out to me. All right.
Yo, real quick before you get into you guys, I wanted to shout out one more thing. A lot of New England artists are on this Revenge of the Dreamers album that's getting recorded right now, so shout out all y'all that get on it. Luke Bars, Ricky Felix, Cousin Stiz, everyone else that they've been rolling out all day. So okay. Shout out to y'all. Hopefully you ghostwrite some ill stuff for Cole or something. I don't know. Do you think he uses ghostwriters?
I mean, I don't think he does.
I'm not sure that he does.
That's for someone else, maybe. Those guys all have pens, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of Boston and Brockton cats on the album, so
that's exciting, man. That's real exciting.
Yeah, maybe they'll make some beats. Definitely the production's gonna be hot.
Absolutely.
But anyway, we got Joe Grizzly here. What's happening, guys?
Oh, all types of stuff, man. What's going on with you?
Yeah, just radio.
It's good to see you too. We just saw you a little while ago at that
the rec show.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool. That was up in New Hampshire. So I mean,
yeah, Panucci.
We were up there living free. Dying.
Yeah.
I'm glad none of us died.
You made it.
Probably living free.
It sounds like there's such a risk, but
yeah, I mean, like, you think that when you cross the border in New Hampshire, because we're massholes true and true, but yeah. Like when you cross that border in New Hampshire, you think some crazy stuff's about to happen. Like everybody's just gonna have guns and fireworks on the side of the road. It's not quite like that, but it's
not quite.
They're in the trunk.
Yeah, all right. I heard that everybody in New Hampshire can carry. I'm not really sure about that, but
well, you can open carry.
Wow.
You don't need a permit. If you have a license to carry, you can open carry. That's you don't need a separate living. One. You need one to concealed carry.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe you need to register your firearms.
People are nice up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the way it should be, man. You don't want Uncle Sam knowing
live polite
who
or
doesn't
die.
Doesn't have them. Yeah, no, but yeah, you should be polite too.
Yo,
I didn't mean we try to not get political here, but yo, people love you guys.
I mean,
yo, we love people back.
Yeah, for real. The love is definitely mutual, man. We love doing this, and the fact that people seem to enjoy us making music and performing it, I mean, that's a bonus. You know what I mean? So we'd be doing it if y'all hated it. So
what you're saying is you've heard good things.
Yeah, man. Joe Grizzly, the name is ringing. As soon as we announced it, we got
comments.
We've been hearing talk to Joe Grizzly. You got to talk to Joe Grizzly.
Yo, I'm glad you brought us up here to talk.
Absolutely. Yeah,
very happy to be here.
Why do you think that is? You guys get so much love.
Their energy is bananas.
I mean, right, like, okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Like, their vibes, their lyrics.
Yeah, we just try to get out there and like, I mean, personally, for me, like, the way I approach music is just, like, we made these songs that I think is great. Like, we spent a long time making it. I'm glad that we get out there and we, like, really, we perform it. And when it resonates with people, that, like, that means the most to me. Like, I'm happy to see when somebody comes up to me after the show and was like, yo, when you said this right here, that meant something to me. And I was like, okay, because I wrote that.
Yeah. Actually, one of the reasons I started playing with them is I saw them perform at a show that my friend booked them for. And Jay came up to me, and he was rapping in my face, and he grabbed me by the shirt. And I was like, okay, I can mess with this. And then, like, a couple shows later, I had met them from performing, like, mutually. And ever since then, I was like, all right, I'm going to try to work with them some way or another, because that hits pretty hard, you know what I mean? And every show's like that. Like, there's never not a performance where that type of thing happens, so.
Someone gets grabbed.
You just run with it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, man.
Yo, if you see Jay Jordan jump off the stage, like, there's a good chance he's gonna come up to you and shake you. Yeah, let you know where you're at.
Giving you your money's worth, you know what I mean? You came to see a show, so you're getting a show. That's how I look at it, you know? I think the reason, or, you know, there's probably different types of reasons, all sorts of reasons, but, yo, just, yeah, I think it's because, man, we try, like, we actually give a damn, like, we really want this to be a good thing. We try to have, we do want a high energy in our performance, and we do try to, like, write our asses off and really write some smart stuff, but at the same time make it, like, funny, entertaining, and serious. We really try, man. We work really hard, so, I mean... Hopefully it's just a product of us, you know, just busting our ass, man, like, trying to keep the quality up. Can I say that?
No. You've been getting closer and closer. Like, massholes kind of slides, and then, like, damn is on the edge.
All right.
So, well, we got to be, like, a kinder, gentler.
All right, well, yeah, we've been working really hard, and we try, you know, like...
I think the fact that we just, you know, we don't just show up right before our set.
Yeah.
Get on stage and get off stage and leave the venue. Like, I feel like, for me, that goes places. Like, when we throw our own shows, when people show up right before their set, get on stage, do their thing, and then leave, like, that doesn't mean anything to me. Like, we're there, we're present, like, That's we came for the show.
Yeah.
Like, we're not just here for our part of the show. Like look at me, now I'm gone. Like, we came for the show. Like, and I feel like being present is very important.
Unless you're double booked, if you show up, perform, and leave, you are whack.
Yeah, that's not a good look. Yeah. It's not cool.
I'll go on record with that.
Uncle Sam has spoken.
Man, I used to see people. Yeah, I don't have time for that.
That's trash. It really, because it's sort of like, if you knew you were performing that night, you're going to act like you're so busy. You knew you had the show, so, you know, make the time. You know, respect the other artists.
Yeah, usually. Exactly. We sat through your set.
Yeah,
you're not that good if you're, you know, if you're that early.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm sorry. And some people, you do have to pay your dues. There are talented openers. I don't want to mean that. But
absolutely.
Usually when you see it, it's the people that don't have the caliber to even be doing that.
I heard recently that we're trying to, like, collectively kill the word openers. But, I mean, I feel like, no, you need that. That word needs to be there. Somebody's got to start this.
We're killing openers?
Yeah. Like, killing the word. Like, we're all just sharing the stage. You know what
killing
I mean?
Killing,
like,
openers.
Really?
Yeah. We're not necessarily actually murdering the openers. We're just killing the word opener.
Is that, like, some people don't like to be called local?
Yeah.
Like, a similar idea?
I mean, like, sure. I mean, I can understand the not wanting to be called the local, but if you're from here, you're, like, local,
right,
and you're also an artist. So
yeah, I don't get that. I don't get the hate for the local thing, because if you're from somewhere, you're from there. Like, even if you blow up and you get famous, like, you're still from there. The people who are from there know you from your town. You are local. You are one of them. Until you actually move away and go get your mansion in Hollywood or whatever, you're still local. So
I'm a little anti-local, you know, but
not I mean, really. I'm not saying you gotta. You have to be, like, embracing it or label yourself. I'm just saying it shouldn't be looked at like a negative term. It just means that people in your hometown love you. I don't know. I just don't see it as a negative. That's all, you know?
Like, if you're a local artist and you're not getting love locally, then I can understand, like, not wanting to be called local, because nobody from there likes you. So maybe you're not a local. Maybe you're the person who wears shoes at the beach. I don't really know.
I think it depends who says it. Like, from a media thing, I think it can come across as shade, and I don't think people being put in that bucket.
I guess that's fair.
Because it makes it seem like you're not doing more. Okay. So I understand from that sense. But why aren't we doing the opener thing?
I really don't know why it's called open. I don't know what the hate is about opening the show. Like, there's been times where we've had to, you know, set off the show, and I look at that as, I mean, I don't want to play that early, sure, but we're gonna set the bar.
Yeah,
and
right.
Everybody else that comes after us is either gonna have a bad show or they're gonna have the best show they ever had.
Right. It's
like,
hard.
That's what I want to do when I start the show. Like, so I feel like every opener or person who starts the show or whatever they want to be called, you need to come with that same energy. Like, yo, I want to be the best part of this show.
Yeah.
Everybody else that comes after me has to do their best, to give their best show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you should be in there basically.
So, I mean, I feel like, yo, open the show.
Yeah.
Start it up.
If they put you out there open
this up.
It's like you're still part of the show. It's not like, oh, well, you put me on earlier, like, you gave me the less valuable part of the show. Well, make it more valuable, you know? Like, if that's the case, if you feel some type of way, crush your set and show those people why you should be put further, you know, further down the lineup. Maybe you should be the headliner show. You know, I go in every show, like, I don't care who we're opening for. I don't care whatever. But, like, I fully intend to have the best performance of the night. Like, that's just the way I look at it. Like, that's our job. You know what I mean? So I don't care who the headliner is, really. Like, I'm there coming for the headliner, all the openers, everybody. Like, I want them to be leaving talking about Joe Grizzly. No offense to whoever the other artists are, but just, like, yeah, man.
No,
everybody should be trying
offense.
To be the best. You know what I mean? It's not like...
That's why we do it.
Like, you want the promoter to rethink the order they put in.
Yeah, man.
Exactly, man.
I think that's how we kind of came up, man. Was like, we used to go first all the time, everywhere, and then people learn their lesson. Don't do that, because, like, you're gonna take all the energy out the room. Nobody will be able to do anything after that. You know, you got to put us on somewhere. You know, let these other people breathe a little bit. That's all. So
right. And really, you honestly don't want to headline the shows out here anyway. Because if you're on...
Sometimes, yeah,
you
man.
Do not... You want to be right dead center of
it's so
the
true,
lineup.
Man. Art is like... That's the lane
true.
You want to be in.
Sweet yeah. Spot. People yeah. are going home.
Mm-hmm. That's so true, man.
But also, like, again, collectively, we need to do something to keep them there.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Like, do something. Don't just come out here and rap over your vocals or
TV track or whatever you want to call it. Like,
yeah,
I think that's something. Like you get too much of. People are it's like a double-edged sword where people are basically like, you got a lot of people putting on their homies, and you got a lot of people afraid of competition, so they don't want to give shine to somebody who might outshine them, and so you water down the quality of your show in a major way by doing that. And, you know, you're like, you're filling all these spots with talent that a lot of people don't want to see, or there's a bunch of people who are only there because their friend's playing, their friend ain't even that good, they just, so like, they don't even really want to be there, they're out the door as soon as their friend's done, so they can just be like, yeah, hey, I showed up, I saw you, don't ever ask me to come again. Like,
damn.
I'm just saying, you know, like, that's, you, there's a lot of that. Like, there's a lot of people who throw shows, and, you know, everybody's doing different things. But I'm just saying, I think that's a common mistake. People, you know, oh, you stack the roster, or that. People are afraid of having a dead show, so they put 30 guys on the bill. So they're like, well, no matter what, I at least got 30 guys in the building because I got all these performers. But it's kind of like...
But then you got the show up and leave rappers.
Yeah, and to somebody who looks at a flyer... They're looking at that like, what is this? Like, what is this monstrosity of a show here? It's not a festival. This thing's supposed to be 3 hours long and you got 30 people on it. Like, how is this going to work? Like,
there's only a few people I know who can pull that off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what it takes, like, I don't know, like nuance and like attention and detail. And that's the thing that I guess it's just that the whole thing, like, if you're putting on your homies and you're ignoring talent because you're afraid of them, you know, taking shine away from you or whatever, then you're not worried about quality or attention and detail. You're worried about, like, I don't know, holding on to some, I don't know, some weird idea of, like, you know, you're trying to trick people into thinking you're better than you are or something. I don't know. You're there for the wrong reason, I guess.
Right. So you guys think about your live show quite a bit.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Definitely.
So that's what's up. What is, before we go any further, Joe Grizzly 978 on all social medias, correct?
Everything. Yep. Yeah.
That is correct.
If y'all have opinions about anything said on the show tonight, at Joe Grizzly 978.
Talk to us.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
So you guys book shows as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you do those monthly, right?
It's not like a strict monthly thing.
For the most part, though.
That's like a pretty safe, or like maybe every other sometimes. But as far as the ones that we are booking and throwing, like where we, yeah, like that's, I mean, I don't know if it's quite monthly. I would say definitely every other.
Regularly.
Yeah, definitely regularly. Okay. Yeah, I just don't want people thinking like, oh yeah, every month, definitely.
So it's like, not like a set.
Usually.
Date. Yeah.
We get a date handed to us and they're like, yeah, come do your thing.
Yeah.
So we come and we do the thing. I go to other shows at the same place that we have our residency. So, I mean, like, there's a lot of cool stuff happening there. So.
Did you start doing that because you saw something missing?
That is 100% why we started throwing shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Because nobody, where we're from, nobody was doing it.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to be a rapper till it was time to do rapper stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
all the work. Like,
everybody's at home rapping, keeping their songs to themselves, putting them on their SoundCloud maybe, but nobody's playing the show. Like, I feel like thousands and thousands of rappers exist out there on Facebook. I mean, I'm friends with 1,000 rappers on Facebook probably.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, 500 of those guys, if you put a mic in their hand, it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know what? It's not going down. But I mean, like, that doesn't take away from their art. That just takes away from what I consider a huge aspect of why I do this. Like, I do this for the performance. I do this to move the crowd. Like, that's what it's from. That's what MCing is for. Like,
I've heard that's what it stands for.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Heads are going to laugh at that joke.
Really?
So,
yeah. I don't like the term old head either because, yo.
It's a KRS lyric.
Some kid, like, called me an old head.
I totally caught that reference. I don't consider myself an old head either. I consider, like, I don't know, whatever. I'm somewhere in the middle.
The children are not listening to KRS.
No, most certainly not. No way. I mean... Let's not kid ourselves.
Actually, no, what makes you an old head, though? Don't do that.
But the kids are not.
There are some youth out there that are in the crates, as they would say.
I would say that those kids are probably the exception of the rule, though. Like, those are like some dedicated kids. Like, you know, a lot of these kids are not dedicated to much of anything. Not all of them.
I'm not slandering the youth. I'm just saying.
We're here. I got to, like, bully up on you for a second. Because I'm like, give our youth a way more credit than that.
Oh, sure. But I mean, as far as... I'm not saying there's none, because I remember being younger and I was one of those youth who wanted to know and was curious, and so I know that they're out there for sure.
He was an older rapper when I was a kid, though. Right. Like, I had to go back and do the research.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I don't doubt that there's some younger heads for sure who like don't want to do their research on KRS. I just wouldn't say that like it's the trend going around right now for like these younger heads to do their research like that. I think it ends up like, you know, maybe something crosses their path and they think it's cool, so they look into it more. I mean, hopefully that's happening a lot. You know what I mean?
I'd like to hope that is happening a lot.
Music discovery now is time doesn't exist anymore. So anything can pop.
Yeah, the internet, you can find anything. So, I mean, you can. Like, old. Sometimes you see, like, really unexpected stuff from, like, the 90s or something, like, pop back up and go viral, and you're like, what is going on? Like, and it's like, it's because a million people just discovered this for the first time. And it's like, yeah. So, I mean, you know what? That could totally happen in KRS-One. Honestly, like, he could go viral, hopefully in a good way. But, you know, like,
he kind of did in a bad way already.
Well, yeah. But I mean, but not for his music, you know? That was more like the commentary thing on the Bambaataa thing. Yeah. So, like, but who knows? Like, you know, a KRS song could like get used in like, I don't know, a commercial or something.
I'm sure it will.
Right. And then like kids are like, oh, what was that? That was fire. Well, and they go look it up. Like, it could totally happen. I don't doubt it. It happens all the time, I guess. So,
yeah.
But just, yeah. I think that's the way that you would, it's more likely to happen than like,
right.
I don't know.
Nothing is old anymore though for music, I think.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that a lot, actually.
Artists could remember that as well. Like, when you start thinking about it, and you're like, oh, man, that's my old stuff. It's like, there's half a billion people in this country.
Right, true.
Have they all heard it?
True.
It's still new to a lot of them.
Yeah, and things are in cycles, too, you know? Like, you think something's played out now, and then you kind of sleep on it, and then all of a sudden, like, you dust it back off one day, and somebody's like, whoa, what is that? That's dope. And you're just like, really? I thought this was played out. And they're like, nah, man, what? Like, we need that now. You never know. You stumble upon.
I have to bring back some Joe Grizzly deep cuts now.
Do it.
You just inspired me.
Remaster. Drop the remaster. You know what I'm saying? Live drums.
Wow.
Lord.
Now, that would be something.
That would be
that
something.
Would really be something.
You might have did something just now.
That would take a little work, but I think it might be worth it, man. We'd rework some of them old joints with Floyd on them now, restructure them a little bit.
He's like really thinking about it.
I can do anything.
Yeah. That could totally work. I mean, we do it live. But
let us know when you do the sessions. We'll drop in, be a fly on the wall.
All right. Hey,
Amanda, you had some questions about POV, right?
No, I had some questions about Bill Cosby.
We'll get to that. Someone dropped a question about the motivation for the lyrics behind POV.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, that was Alex.
Oh, okay.
I can't see for the folks at home. They're way behind a set of monitors because we're in a jam-packed studio.
I can see your necklace though. It's a nice one.
Thank you. It's a never mind.
Tell us about it. Tell us about it.
This is the Joe Grizzly episode of LFOD Radio.
But I was wondering about the just the lyrics about it. It's because, like, I don't know, I've had some friends who have been telling me about people lately who are like, you know, this dude's asking me to like help him out with this month's rent and like, you know, all this, that, and you know, it sounded like people were like hitting you up for money, kind of, or something.
I'm glad.
I was curious about that.
Do you want to? I mean, I think like this is interesting because like the way we write our songs a lot of times is we'll take the same subject and approach it kind of like differently a little bit, but and we a lot of times just kind of end up meeting somewhere in the middle without meaning to, and that's kind of what happened on that song. But do you want to? I mean, I think we're coming from a different spot on that.
Yeah, song. I think that there. That's more specifically geared toward your verse.
I guess,
Do you not want to answer this?
No, I mean, well, I was going to say, because, like, when I was writing my verse, what you said is actually kind of, maybe not specifically, oh, people hitting me up for money, but my verse is very much about just the aggravation of doing business with people who aren't maybe on point with their business, people who, I guess that.
Like, and like not doing bad business, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, the ins and outs of dealing with people and doing business and honestly, kind of being sick of people not.
Because, like, business isn't necessarily just transactional, you know what I mean? It's not like you coming to me to purchase something or me coming to you to purchase something. The way you carry yourself in life, like, you could just be a bad person, and that's bad business. Dealing with you just in general is bad business. I don't need to be around that type of stuff. So it's not necessarily just like monetary. It's like the transactions.
Yeah, it's
and
like
humanism.
A relationship. Business is a relationship. It's a form of it. You know what I mean? So, so it's really true. It is a form of relationship, and like the way you do business with somebody shows the way you regard them. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, maybe it's not a romantic relationship, but it can be just as intense. You know what I mean?
It's intimate. It is
intimate. Yeah, absolutely. And when you are doing business and maybe you feel some type of way about the way people are doing business with you, or they're not appreciating the work you're putting in, or they're not holding up their half or whatever, it can be very frustrating. And like, sometimes my verse was kind of just being like, man, I am not trying to deal with the BS with the other end of the business. You know what I mean? That's where I was kind of coming from. And just, you know, I mentioned in my verse too, talking a little bit about like some relationship metaphors and stuff, like talking about the marriage and the divorce and breaking the piggy bank on the kitchen floor and all that. Yeah. It's you know, doing business. It's like, you know, y'all married into this business wise and then y'all do the business wrong. Mm. And so now here we are breaking up, smashing the kid's piggy bank, splitting up every penny. You know, that's kind of where I was coming from in that. And you can take it like either way, relationship wise, money wise, whatever. Same thing, like the same emotion almost, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important to like hold up your end of a bargain, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you can't, just be straight up about it. That's why most business that I found falls apart, because people just say like, hey, something came up, I'm going to be late. But don't start ducking, dodging, weaving.
Like, right. Yeah.
You know, just be honest. People would rather hear, I messed up, I can't do it.
No,
than
absolutely.
Than having to chase you and wonder. And that's how we got, that's my get off my lawn era, was from trying to do business with people out here. But it's getting better. Shout out to Bedlam, Dart Adams, Tim LaRue, and everyone that's a part of the State of New England Hip Hop Podcast. If you haven't heard that yet, I would recommend checking it out. One thing we talked about on there was how it's getting less about complaining now, and it's more about growing and sort of guiding the growth, because people have you guys found that doing shows and stuff, people are starting to be more on point?
I have to say yes. I've been to a few shows lately. I've been trying to show up, like, you know, not to every show because that's impossible, but I've been trying to show up to as many as I can, and it's just like, it's good to see that there's actually people who are understanding that throwing a good show is important, and like, and they're doing it. You know what I mean? It's getting done. Like, they're not putting 50 people on the bill, like he was saying. You know, you put together a solid, strong show, you give solid, strong performances, and that brings people that gets you there from the beginning, middle to the end.
Yeah.
Go home when it's over. Nobody wants to go home when it's over.
Yeah, I know I did. Well, I was saying that earlier before about people putting these like trash lineups together. So, don't get me wrong, like, still happens. It'll probably never stop happening. You know, somebody somewhere.
The game is the game.
Somebody's putting on a bad show somewhere, you know, at any given point in time, I'm sure. But in our scene, yeah, it definitely. I know just off people like that we know, and like some of the shows that we've been to recently, and the Showtimes are talking about, like, yeah, man, that people have stepped it up. I've seen some really impressive lineups and interesting combinations of artists on bills. Even the thing that what was the name of that spot where you seen us? The name of that venue where
the Dorchester Art Project?
No, not that one.
The Mad Music Mill.
That's what it was.
Lives and Offerings. One time.
No, that was fire. Yeah, that was fire, because like, yo, it was a really, really dope mix of artists. Like, everybody I saw there that night was like fire, and I was like, whoa, all right, cool. Like,
yo, everything happening in that room is crazy.
It was really dope.
Shout out to
Bakari. No, really, that was really cool. That was really cool. I feel like there's been more of that, people putting together like really good combinations of artists, and I think it just, maybe it was like a time thing, man, like, because we were, you know, like, you start doing something and the more you do it, the more experience you get, the better, you know, the better you get at it and more practice you have, and like, we, that was us with shows, like, our shows slowly grew over time, we figured it out, we're able to make them more organized, got a little pickier with the quality and stuff, and then yeah, other people have been doing it too, man. So sometimes in our own backyard, I would love to be able to take credit for that. I have no idea. It's like I know there's a word for it when like people who are separate from each other are kind of like on the same wavelength together.
Synchronicity.
Is that the word?
Yes.
And I think it's a real thing.
Sounds great.
No, I think it's a real thing, and like, it happens in music and this and that. Like, it's like people in that, you know, there's like maybe overlapping circles, but it's a wider circle, and overall, over this period of time, like, while we were doing our thing and coming up and figuring it out, other people were doing it too, and you know, like, hopefully they learned stuff from us just like we learned stuff from other people. But yeah, definitely it has gotten better, man. Like, the scene out here has definitely grown. There's like cool stuff to to bring people to. We're in a, like, it's a good time.
But I feel like
right
everything
now,
like that works in cycles, you know what I mean?
Right.
True, yeah.
It, what goes around comes around kind of.
Yeah.
So like a couple years ago everybody was like, "Oh, there's nothing happening, there's nothing going on.
Right.
Nobody's doing anything."
Now there's and almost too much.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. You can't get to every show and that's great.
Yeah, it's a good problem.
That's
to
really
have,
great.
I guess, right?
I hope that we never get back to that situation where everybody's like, "Oh, there's nothing going on, nothing."
I don't think
right
we
now
will.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I like where you're at. Optimism.
Yeah, man. We try to. That's what we.
Ever
that's what I'm about. So we're gonna play this Bill Cosby record, and I know Amanda has a lot of thoughts on it.
All right.
I'm gonna come back and get into that. Yo, shout out to you one time for the Cultures hoodie.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
As well.
I had to bring that back.
Yo, oh yeah, yeah, true.
People don't know.
Oh, yo, we know. We know.
Yo, shout out Eddie, man. That,
if
that,
you know,
Mayan
you know.
And yeah, all them, man.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. See, yo, people don't actually know. I was actually signed to Cultures Music.
Were
and
you?
And my album was actually, like my solo joint, the Leftovers project, was actually, the majority of that was actually recorded under that little deal that I had with Cultures at the time. Only thing is that, you know, Cultures ended up kind of closing their doors and wrapping up before that ended up coming out. So, like, I just did a special thanks to those guys when the thing came out because I had to kind of finish things up later. But, man, they supported us heavy. You go back and look at the photos from the, I don't know, it was like, what, like 2015, 2016, that run of shows. I was rocking, like, Cultures every day. All day, my entire wardrobe was Cultures. I think I'm pretty sure like all the hats I own, except for like yeah, except for like the new stuff that I be covering, is all Cultures, like all of it. So yeah, those guys. Oh yeah, shout out to my boy Tony too, man. Tony D, like he was one of the artists on that, man. Just
yeah, they Cultures, were man. They were all, man. I wish they could have hung on a little bit longer.
Yeah, me too. Oh,
but I
God,
get
man
it. That Harvard Square rent.
It's true, man.
Top of everything.
Yo, I was just talking to Eddie the other day, man. Actually, he's doing like real estate now, but he's doing his thing, man. He's grinding. So
yeah, they did one of our first collaborations with anybody was with them way back when we got started.
Yo, they were
they always
fire,
showed
man
mad love, and they just wanted to see people do stuff.
Absolutely.
Like before I was ready, I didn't do business with them because I knew I didn't have the right stuff to even bring them. But they're like, "Yo, let's do something. And I was like, "I'm not ready."
You brought us in for an in-store one time, and that was wild. I never.
Yeah,
that store was crazy.
That was like that was the first time that I really we played a show that in a space that wasn't designed for a show.
It was
like,
not.
You know what I mean? So that in-store performance was cool, and there were so many people there. Like,
mm-hmm.
Cultures got love, man.
Yeah,
so,
yeah man. Shout out the boys.
They were good for the culture.
They were. Maybe we'll see a little pop-up shop or something. So.
That would be sick.
I'd love to see it, man. Yeah. Absolutely.
Put that in the universe. All right, we're going to play this Cosby record. We're going to come back, let's chop it up. And yeah, you tune in to Live Free or Die Radio. We got Joe Grizzly in the building.
This is Bill Cosby coming at you with music and fun.
And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
Just called me, said life like a TV show, we run and reruns all week, you can't pause me, I put them all to sleep, like Dr. Huxtable, got you comfortable, paid the bills and got you feeling so safe, sent the kids to school, met the principal, get good grades, they so well behaved, they so family friendly, picture perfect, the wife is smiling and the marriage is working, who would have thought that all that could change, what got the good doctor acting strange, coming home from work late the past few days, driving home his co-workers half his age, but the neighbors are nosy and they watching things, and the neighborhood kids say the darnest things, but he's well respected, no one questions his expertise or his secret methods. Get this, well next thing you know it's even. Like what's the harm in one drink and Netflix? No complications in conversation, she start losing her coordination. The drink is gone, she leaning on the sink and she said something feels wrong. She really didn't think that the drink was strong. She falling asleep to that theme song and can't figure out if it's a dream. But dawn comes, she waking up with no jeans on. Like how the hell did we, where the hell is he? Check the window, see him roll down the street. Who can she tell the awful details? And he got emails from lots of females. You a sick man, put them all to sleep with the harmony.
This is Bill Cosby.
Just sit down, no sitcom, no comedy.
This is Bill Cosby.
And word gets around how you get down so commonly.
This is Bill Cosby.
Are you wrong for that? Was it all a trip? Bill Cosby just called me. Said life like a TV show, we run it reruns all week. You couldn't pause me, I put them all to sleep, I put them all to sleep.
Bill Cosby.
Yo, pardon me.
Hi, is the doctor in? What type of cocktails is he conjuring? A little something just to make it more tolerant? Dr. Drinks trying to keep him off from hollering? A perfect portrait, but painted with shades of a psychopath. Like, maybe they'll all forget if you let enough time go past. But the time don't pass, and the lies start to crack.
and the hole's dug too deep. And you couldn't climb back, then Hannibal told the joke. And everyone started to whisper, but that shit was never a joke. It was comically unfamiliar, a loved and trusted father figure. We can't trust our daughters with you, and I never will. So here's the hope, and God forgives you. We look to you for guidance, life lessons you provided. But all the while behind a smile of dirty secrets hiding. Backsliding and lying, little Spanish flying, vibing. Man, how the fuck we supposed to buy these pills that you prescribing? We understood every single word that you implying. Man, how the fuck we supposed to buy these pills that you prescribing? You a sick man, put them all to sleep with the harmony.
This is Bill Cosby.
Just sit down, no sick calm, no comedy.
This is Bill Cosby.
And word gets around how you get down so commonly.
This is Bill Cosby.
And you wrong for that. Was it all the truth? Bill Cosby just called me. Said life like a TV show, we running reruns all week. You can't pause me, I put him all to sleep. I put him all to sleep.
Bill Cosby.
Yo, pardon me. You can't pause me.
Bill Cosby.
You can't pause me. I put him all to sleep. I put him all to sleep. Bill Cosby just called back, trying to talk smack real calmly. Yo, he said his show is back on and playing his reruns all week. Yo, he said his show is real life. You know what it feels like? Not me. Yo, said it means I'm back on, it won't get off today, fall asleep. Said Cosby, call Russell, call Ratner, call Riley, call Roy Moore on a wrong number. Ring Harvey Weinstein, see Spacey, see Casey, see Matthew with the bad news. Cause they got caught with their pants down and they did some things they ain't have to. But Patton, crabbing, it's all just predation.
And we are back, Live Free or Die Radio. Joe Grizzly in the building.
That's right.
We here.
It's a nice building, too. It's not so bad.
Thank you. I built it myself.
I love being in the building. Like, love when people say, yo, we in the building. Yeah, of course. Yeah. We all came in here together.
It sounds better than we out here. Because, like...
You are on record, like, multiple times about this.
We are in here.
I know, because, like, it'd be cold outside. It is. Out here.
You're right.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
No, it's true.
I'd rather be in the building.
Absolutely.
Even if it's a cold building, it's... warmer than out cheer.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
You're right.
Yeah, Amanda recently put us onto that piece of Boston slang that no one knew was Boston slang until she told us.
Is that like a Boston specific thing?
It is. I'm not from here. It is. Sam just don't know, but
he's like, no, just
he's not. Yeah, he's just, not familiar. But I'm not from here, shake. And I've definitely heard more than several people say we out cheer.
It's okay. A vibes and offerings thing.
It is not a vibes and offerings thing. Bakari JB would never.
No, I'm kidding. It might be. Who knows what it is? It's something that's being said, though. It's an LFOD thing now.
Okay.
I guess. Either way, I actually wanted to ask Joe Grizzly. You had mentioned earlier about how you all like co-write your songs together, and that was like actually one of my questions. But now I'm just kind of like, is it like a prompt type of session? Like, hey, we're gonna just throw in Jesus Peace and like, what are your thoughts about it? And let's write our, like, what's your creative process to write together?
Man, that
it's
is...
funny that you said Jesus Peace, because like the way that came together was, every song I feel like has a story the way that it comes together. Yeah, like, Jesus Peace, we had that beat. Jay sent it to me one day and I was just listening to it in the car on the way to his house to write music. And I was just like, All right. And then I just started rapping. You know those car freestyles, because everything turns to lava
feeling it
when you're in the car. So that's how it happened. I was spitting liquid hot magma in my car all the way over.
I believe it.
All the way to Jay's house. And I was like, yo, this is the song, Jay. Listen, play the beat.
Yeah.
And then that's how that one happened.
So like the Bill Cosby one, the story to that one, honestly, the story is not as like grand as people probably think it might be. It actually started off of a joke. It was not intended originally to even be a song. We were driving to a show, I think at the Middle East, and we were just like goofing off in the car on the way to the show and freestyling. And while I was freestyling, I was just making like, it was when the Bill Cosby, it was like not long after the Bill Cosby thing at first kind of came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like in the news popping around, and like, I just said something in the freestyle. Like, basically, I was making a thing about getting bad dating advice from Bill Cosby, basically, is what it was.
Okay.
And I had a line where I was like, yeah, Bill Cosby just called me, and then boom. We were all kind of just sitting in the car goofing off, and we kept saying it, and then we just came back to it, and we're like, I don't know if you suggested it or what, but at some point, somebody was like, this needs to actually be a song, man. This is like a subject worth writing about. So kind of just went from there. Yeah,
just, honestly, yeah, that's how it went. And it's like, you know, we didn't write it to make a stand or anything. We wrote it because we didn't want to let creepy stuff slide. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's really what it was, never to be like, yo, this is topical right now, let's write this song. No, we were like, this is something creepy happening, and it's happening with all of these other people too.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know what? Everybody's going to whisper about these things in the industry or whatever, or even like just in conversation, but like, let's not whisper about it. Let's talk about it. Let's speak on it. So
you all speak. Hey,
what?
Why did we both just do that?
I was just going to say, did you not expect it to, because it became a big thing. Did you think it was going to get swept away when you wrote the song?
I honestly thought people were going to be mad. That's what I thought. Well, when we did the video, at least. I thought the video, I was afraid people were going to be like Bill Cosby apologists were going to be like, y'all are going too hard at Bill Cosby. I was afraid there was going to be a little bit of that, but there was none of that. There was all people just being like, yo, thank you for saying this. And it was like, all right, cool. All right. I honestly thought I was going to be doing a lot of arguing with people, trying to explain the song and be like, yo, listen, like I used to respect Bill Cosby. And then this stuff came out and it was just like, yo, of all people, man, like what? That's why my verse is basically like, the Cosby Show like turns dark, because that's the way I always saw Bill Cosby, was like Cosby Show, Bill Cosby,
not
like
Dustable.
This squeaky clean, like black male role model. And it was like, yo man, really? You? Like you? Really? I can't even believe this. And like, so yeah, that's
those
just
are the guys.
Yeah.
Except for Mr. Rogers. He's clean, but
yeah. Yeah, true.
One but, time for Fred.
Yo, Fred Rogers, rest in peace.
So I guess that's I want to ask like one more question, because I know we're running out of time.
Okay.
You all are amazing.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Amazing. You're amazing. You all perform at all these places. I can't with you, because like, I'm just going to start laughing. I can't even look at you. But you play all these places. Jeez. And you all are like moving around the city. How come I don't see more of like a press run for you all? Like,
it's like a multi-pronged answer right there.
But like, you're everywhere, so
you have
like
3 minutes.
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, it's nothing that's super complicated, really. I think it's just a combination of things, just time, you know, because we all, you know, we do this, you know, we make a couple bucks doing music, but we all have other stuff we got to do. Like, we have lives outside of this too. It's really hard to balance everything sometimes, or to sink a certain amount of dollars into a budget on this or that. So, I mean, I guess, and for now, we've just been worried about like crushing shows, recording new material, making sure it's out there and that people can get to it and find it, and just making some really good stuff. And yeah, I mean, that's definitely something we've thought about, and we plan to be doing more official promotion and things like that. But yeah, it's kind of been like,
I have to echo what Jay said. You know what I mean? Like, sure, we are busy, but it's definitely something that as an artist, that's something that I need to work on. You know what I mean? Like, we need to do better about selling ourselves. You know, we're out there doing a great job at these shows, but
doesn't that feel gross?
If people don't know that the shows are happening, you know, if you're not out there being visible, like, hey, I got a show this Friday. Hey, I got a show this Thursday. I got 7 shows coming up. Come and check these out. Like, nobody's going to come to them. The people who like you aren't going to come to them because they won't know about it.
Right. Well, when's your next show?
Our next show is...
Well, the next show that we are throwing is February 16th. I don't have anything to look at right now in front of me, but off the top of my head, I'm pretty positive. February 16th, we're throwing that one. It's at the venue that we got a little thing going on at Ryan Time, Leominster, Massachusetts. It's a Saturday. And we'll be announcing the lineup for that one pretty soon. We're putting that together right now. And just... yeah, I mean, in the meantime, also just we've been writing new music and things like that. We never stop working, and I mean,
you might see a couple surprises come out this year.
Yeah, yeah,
from the camp. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely, like, definitely. And I'm always working on like crazy side projects and stuff. Like I'm a nerd, like in 10 million different types of ways. Like I had that podcast thing I did before, and I'm always dabbling in like random little stuff. So I mean, we're never really at a full stop. I mean, if we're not doing shows, I mean, that probably means we're writing, recording, or scheming. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
stay scheming.
Stay scheming. Stay
yeah, absolutely. Scheming. Definitely.
I could feel it. I knew it was in there.
Yeah. Well, all right. Last question. All most right. important question, some might say.
Okay.
What does Live Free or Die mean to you?
That, I mean, do you, I know what it means to me.
Well,
do
I mean, I feel like I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. Like, I didn't know you were going to ask me that question, but like I'm saying, growing up as a kid in Massachusetts, I grew up really close to the New Hampshire border. And like, to me, New Hampshire was where all the fun stuff came from. You know what I mean? Like, when my dad had a barbecue or a party or whatever, we got to go to New Hampshire this morning, son. Why? So I can get some beverages. Or, you know what? It's the 4th of July. Let's go get some stuff to blow up. All right, let's go. One last thing I learned from my dad was, hey, we got to go to New Hampshire. Why? Because I want to go buy some guns. Okay, let's do it.
Hey, I mean, those are,
you know what
facts.
I mean? Like, live free or die. But it, I mean, it's not all about just having a good time. It's about also like living, like express your liberties, like live the way you're supposed to. Like,
yeah,
you're an American for a reason.
For real. Do I think I probably take it like, like scary literal, because people who know me, man, like they, like I, if you were to ask me that, be like, what is it like you just did right now? Like, yo, like I live my life like that. Like, anybody who knows me personally, if you know my parents, you could probably understand where I'm coming from. My parents are different types. My mom ain't from this country, right? My mom's from Zaire. Now people know it as the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And, you know, she took a crazy adventure to come over here. My pops is a different type of dude. He's like he's a chemistry professor, but he also has traveled all over the place, speaks different languages, lives in a cabin off the grid, grows his own food, like slaughters pigs and turkeys. I'm just saying, like, Live Free or Die Hard is real to me.
That's a movie.
Check this out. Real thing. I just want to say, and this is the way I look at even us being artists, right? Like, because... Yo, like in the world, right? Everything is claimed. You can't go nowhere where there ain't somebody already there and it owned by somebody, right? Like, you can't, like, it's hard to be free, truly, right?
Yes.
But it's like, yo, being an artist and like doing what you want like that and like living that lifestyle, yo, that's the closest in this era that you'll ever get to being like free, to being like that, like, you know, like a Ronin wandering samurai. You know what I mean? You can't do that now, but you can write music and be like, you know what? I'm not gonna kill myself in the same grind as everybody else. Like, I'm gonna take this risk and just like, this is my form of that. You know what I mean? Like, definitely, this is the, like, I've been telling you all the time. I'm like, yo, Joe Grizzly is the most important thing to me. After, like, other than my fam, yo, this is it right here. Like, straight up. Like, I don't care, man. Try me over Joe Grizzly. See which one wins out. Like, yo, really.
Okay.
Joe Grizzly over everything.
Yes.
Real
yes.
talk. I'm not
yes.
playing.
Joe Grizzly over everything.
Real talk. See me in the street and ask me. I will spit that out of my mouth immediately. No hesitation.
Like, and we know he's got guns and fireworks ready.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to talk about the strap on air, but I will say I definitely got I got fireworks ready. Like, on deck. You want to blow something up?
Yeah.
Let's go. Oh, man.
Let's go.
Great. I used to keep, it's funny, I used to keep mortars in the truck. Like, I really would keep them with me at all times. Like, because you never knew when you had to do some fireworks.
Yeah, or keep a 4-foot piece of PVC back there.
That'll work.
Yo, man, we out here.
Safety first, though.
Yeah, yeah. Don't hold the tube towards your face.
Yep. Never look into the barrel of a gun or a firework.
Yeah, definitely.
Me and Uncle
Sam
finna have the streets looking like Harry Potter in a second.
I don't know what that means.
Yo, all kind of fireworks gonna be going off, fam.
Okay, all right.
Yo, yeah. I haven't really seen the Harry Potter stuff, so I was actually lost on that too. I was like, man, yeah, Harry Potter.
You need it.
I did
you
see.
You need to get on it.
I'm gonna try to find.
I've seen like the first two, all right, and I will eventually get to it. But I'm just saying, it's a lot of
those
movies, man.
Kid, so I blame I blame all this cartoon stuff on him, but it's not.
And aren't they making more now? Like the new guy. There's like another guy. There's like 10 of these things. It's a lot.
They're
gonna
get ready when the grandkids are gonna be watching the reboot. It's Harry Potter's here forever.
Don't even say reboot and Harry Potter in the same sentence right now, man.
But it won't be gritty. It's gonna be like a happy one. You know, they're gonna go the other way. All this grittiness is gonna get played out, and it's gonna be animated, and it's gonna be good. Yeah.
Yeah. One reboot I didn't care for, though, since you said reboot, was that Willy Wonka joint.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Nah, I wasn't feeling it. Johnny Depp creeped me out.
Johnny Depp is that guy. He's definitely a creepy dude.
Yo, he's definitely he gets right on that line.
Gets into his characters, yo. Joe Grizzly.
This is a great conversation. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely,
This is going to be up tomorrow on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, LFODradio.com. If you want it first, I would suggest to subscribe. You can get everything right away. Otherwise, you'll get it when we post it.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to those back episodes.
Yo, check them out, man. Mm-hmm. Subscribe. They'll all pop up on your phone. Or you can go back. I would strongly recommend.